about fucking crazy. You gotta put it in
perspective. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Well, if you think I'm shifting my loyalties from Charles Manson to Paul McCartney,
yeah.
I'm not.
It's insensitive. It's just wrong. And that was wrong. And that won't happen again on my watch. And I'm sorry.
Give me a break. 1 minute left. 1 minute left. You're going to give me 1 minute? There's a, look at that sign right there. 1 minute.
And now,
we have alcohol and we've got explosives. Let me show you how great we are.
Our feature presentation.
That really is all you need.
That's all you need.
Alcohol and explosives.
I know that. That's a party for you.
That's the key to any party.
That's Kevin's 4th of July right there.
Yeah.
I was thinking, as I was putting that together, I was thinking, listening to a little Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day.
Yeah.
There's a guy who went to rehab and we never heard another word again about him.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to go.
Yep. Right. Is he out, though?
I don't know.
I haven't. That's part of what I'm talking about is we haven't heard anything, nothing about how it's doing or if he's out. There was zero promotion for the second of their three albums that came out a couple of weeks ago, Dose, the Green Day Dose album. A lot of people may not even know it came out because, you know, they weren't doing the promotional stuff that they usually
right.
do, which is fine. I mean, obviously, you got to pay attention to what Billy Joe needs. But it's
wouldn't
just,
you think the rest of the band could promote it?
Yeah, that's part of what I was thinking is, you know, get the word out a little bit. But, I mean, obviously, we just, you know, we hope he's well. We want him to recover and have a long, healthy life and career. But it's just, it's odd that, you know, there just hasn't been a word, no update whatsoever. Even just a statement saying, hey, he's doing great.
Everything's fine.
Would be
appreciate your continued support.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday. We have to do this phone topic. I don't remember if we've ever even done it. If we have, I bet it's been a long time, and that's the worst first dates ever.
Love it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Have we ever done that? Does that sound familiar to you guys?
Worst Not in a long time, ever. If we've
done
we have.
We've done a bunch of blind dates that have gone
right.
around, but I don't know if we ever not.
Efren Molina is his name. He is 39 years old. Earlier in the week, he met a young lady named Jillian Martone. She is 35. And they soon arranged a first date. He picked her up. This was last Tuesday, so just a week ago. He picked her up. They went out for food and drinks. Then they went back to his place, where they stayed for several hours. At some point in the night, Martone, that's the woman, allegedly made a comment about being Molina, his girlfriend. Said, hey, I'm your girlfriend, or called herself a girlfriend.
Oh, I see.
Right.
It's like a guy saying, I think I'm falling in love with you on a first date.
Yes. And he said, right. whoa, it's our first date. You're not my girlfriend. It's just my first date. She apparently, according to the police report, became enraged.
Yeah.
He told her to get out of his apartment. She wouldn't leave. She reportedly punched him instead. Then she ran into the kitchen and grabbed a knife, according to the report.
When you're saying to a girl, you're not my girlfriend, that takes a whole lot of tact. You have to be very careful with that one.
But do you really, if you've been out on one date for 3 hours?
Yes, because bitches be crazy.
Well, apparently that's the truth. So she goes into the kitchen and grabs a knife, according to the report. That's when Molina calls for his roommate, who rushes into the living room to see what all the commotion is about. The roommate stood there and watched Molina wrestle the knife out of her hand and then drag the woman downstairs and throw her out. When she's outside, she smashes his window with two large rocks.
Wow.
While the roommate calls police. Is this wild or what?
I would love to know how they met. If it was like an internet thing or he picked her up in a bar or what.
Because
she is nuts.
Prison, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
That bitch is crazy.
By the way, this in no way will surprise anybody, but I'm reading this in the Palm Beach Sun Sentinel. So, yes, of course, it happened in Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that could be, I mean, that's got to be in the running for one of the worst first dates I've ever
had. Oh, agreed.
Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously not all women are like that, but the girls who insist on being a girlfriend on first date,
yeah,
you got to perhaps tiptoe around that one. Go ahead and finish out the night and then send a text.
Right. You know, step back slowly.
Get your distance, and then maybe you can give it a try.
Get her some bus fare, send her on her way, and then quickly move before she can come back.
Well, that's the other version of it, yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and BJ, shall we?
What happened to you? You used to be about the booze.
I'd say still am. I'm still giving me credit for the booze. Comedian Bill Burr will be on the program today.
Yeah.
Love him.
He's the best.
One of the funniest. We have Frankie Edgar, who is also one of the best in the UFC.
I'm going to kick his ass.
Since stepping down in weight classes to fight Jose Aldo. Bean, have you ever seen Frankie Edgar fight?
I don't believe so.
I swear to God, this is one of those guys who you go, there's just no hope. He's losing this fight so badly that I just wish they'd call it now because I'm uncomfortable with how much pain and suffering the guy. And then he'll come back and win.
Oh, wow.
It's unbelievable, this guy.
He's got no quit in him, is what I hear.
No, he's a little dude, too. He fights a real lightweight, division. Mm-hmm. But, my God, I've counted him out 15 different times, and then he'll come back, and he's got the heart of just a lion. He's crazy. You just think, oh, please tap. Please just stop the fight.
This is terrible for all of us.
I'm not enjoying this at all. And then no possible way. He's unbelievable. And he's stepping down in weight classes to fight Jose Aldo, who is also an amazing fighter. This is UFC 156, which is still a couple away. But tickets go on sale, so we're going to talk to Frankie Edgar. We have Bean's Death Corner on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We got an Afro call from Wing. It's our favorite singer.
Really? See, now I was sad because I was out. I was in surgery when you guys talked to Wing, yeah. So I don't know what's going on with my girlfriend.
Well, your girlfriend is doing fine. She's Hong Kong, Bean.
Oh, she's Hong Kong.
Yes. Yeah, and she's doing well, so can't wait to talk to her. We also have a couple of missed double Decembers coming in today.
Whoa, look at those Magumbos!
One of them... This is weird. Here are the two talents. I want to tell you the two talents just so you get a little taste of what's coming. One of the Miss Double Decembers, her talent is to roll her legs over her head.
Okay.
And by the way, as great on the radio as the dancing was yesterday, but we'll allow it.
Don't care. But the video's up at krock.com of the dancing yesterday, so at least you can see that. And we'll be videotaping it again today. And the other one, this is funny, but... She put, and this is what she put, and we don't have any further clarification. She can do weird things with her arms. I don't know exactly what that means. But that's happening today as well.
What kind of freak show do we have going on here?
The best. And you can still vote, of course, at kevinandbean.com for your favorite Miss Double December. Friday morning, we are going to be broadcasting live from the... from the Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. We're going to be there live Friday morning for the entire show. Slide Bar, right. And also we have tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Wow, that's too much.
So that's all coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Bands like The Killers and Fun, Neon Trees, Passion Pit, Linkin Park, Rise Against, Bush, Garbage, and so many more, all performing weekend after next, December 8th and 9th at the Gibson. We're talking about the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. We're going to be giving away tickets again on this morning's program just after 9 o'clock. Pit tickets and backstage passes to both nights. Then you get a chance to win the same deal just after noon, just after 3, and just after 6 again tonight. This is a hell of a show. Great time every year. Hope you're able to join us in person. All the details and how to win at krock.com.
Ralph's out one more day. He's coming back from Philadelphia today after seeing his beloved Eagles go down. But
he's going to be cranky.
He'll be back tomorrow. Very excited about that.
Ralph's going to be cranky? What?
In the meantime, Showbiz Beat, Christina Aguilera apparently, she's a diva, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
She, of course, on The Voice. But Mike Walker from the National Enquirer reports that she was practicing a dance number for the show when her pants split down the back.
She's a big diva these days.
She fat.
Yeah.
The blonde bombshell went crazy when she saw crew members laughing and snapped that they wouldn't have jobs if it wasn't for her. Unfortunately, so the support staff didn't even notice her wardrobe malfunction and was unable to help, and she had to run back to her dressing room.
I am, look, this gets us into some dangerous territory here because she's only fat in the context of celebrities. If you saw her on the street, yes. No one would ever think she was fat. She'd just be a regular-sized person. I understand I'm wading into that potential landmine.
You know, I hear you when you say that, but here's what I'll say. you can wear clothes that minimize
yes
the fact that you're not skinny, or you can wear clothes that make you look the same, or you can wear clothes that are two sizes too small.
Yes.
That really make you look fatter than you are.
She did not buy a new wardrobe when she gained
right.
15 so or 20 still, pounds.
She's wearing right. the wrong, for, God yes. forbid, I'm the guy to give her clothing advice. She's wearing the wrong clothes because it makes her look way fatter, maybe even than she is.
I agree with that. And this is the point I'm getting to is why are they allowing her to wear those things on television? That's not her personal wardrobe. This isn't her at Kmart on the weekend. This is her on the freaking Voice looking that bad. Don't they have stylists who say, here's what you should wear to look good?
Yeah. And then she's Christina Aguilera and she says, F you.
Right.
I'm going to wear what I want to wear.
Yeah. And I'm also surprised that I know that celebrities are just like us.
Nope.
But I'm also surprised because I feel, Lisa, like most girls that I know, if they knew they were going to be on NBC tonight at 8, mm-hmm. they wouldn't eat that cheesecake because they would be terrified of how they would look on NBC tonight at 8, and that would be the incentive that they need to not get that way.
Well, food is a lot like drugs and alcohol. And,
right.
And so if you're going to say, why wouldn't that alcoholic take that drink before he goes on the... I mean, it doesn't make any sense yeah. if you're really, like, into the food thing at that
I
moment.
I guess.
But most, especially women, I think, are super sensitive about how they look.
They
right.
are.
And so you would think Bean's right that she would listen to somebody that's telling her... And I'm sure they don't put it this way, but the clothes you wear make you look fatter than you are.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Meanwhile, Carson Daly always looks like he's dying of AIDS on the same show. There's a guy who needs a cheeseburger, right? Like, shouldn't they spread that weight around a little bit?
I don't think they have that option.
Everyone is talking about the Lindsay Lohan movie. It aired Sunday night. The ratings are out now. We didn't have this for you yesterday morning. But considering all of the hype leading up to it, that this was Lindsay Lohan's big comeback movie, and it had the potential to just be super awesome because of the subject matter. She was playing the late actress Elizabeth Taylor and her stormy relationship with her husband Richard Burton. It ended up just doing so-so numbers. Drew about 3.5 million viewers on Sunday night, which is okay for a cable channel. But it was about half the audience that the Lifetime channel had with that Steel Magnolias remake a couple of months ago with Queen Latifah, which was considered a good-sized hit.
Wow, I missed that one.
Yeah.
That was the all-black retelling of Steel Magnolias. Oh. They just cast black actresses in all those roles from that movie. Yeah. That's a great point because that didn't get nearly the press that this Lindsay Lohan thing did. You'd think that a lot of people would, you know, if for no other reason, like you did, Lisa, tune in just to see the train wreck, right?
But Lisa only watched a half hour. Why?
And I'm guessing that's what people did. Yeah. They went in for 15 minutes and went, I cannot do this to myself.
My wife watched it and said she was terrible.
She was terrible.
And I said, you know, I always thought she was a decent actress, not knowing that much about her acting. But when she was younger, she seemed fine.
But she's fine to play a contemporary person.
Okay. All right.
Not someone from the
listen. I'm not gonna argue she's a good 60s. Actress. I'm just saying that was
not Elizabeth Taylor.
Not Elizabeth Taylor
in Rome in 1960. Right, exactly. Well, there's one person who is defending her, of course, and it's Michael Lohan, who is just doing everything he can to get on her good side. Because remember, she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He sent out a tweet suggesting that all the critics need to get new jobs.
All the critics,
because they know nothing about talent. He also said that Lindsay is one of the best. She's so gifted. She's so amazing. And ended his tweet with, God bless you. Because he's unbiased because it's his daughter. One of Lindsay's friends, quote unquote, talked to the Huffington Post and said that these bad reviews for this movie have really hit Lindsay Lohan hard because acting was the one thing that people said, hey, no matter how effed up she
right.
is, no matter how much trouble she gets into, at least she's a good actress. Now she's hearing she's not a good actress anymore. Here's the quote. She got used to all the negative press around her personal life, but this is the first time she's experienced it about her work. No matter how bad things were going for her personally, everybody would always agree that she was a great actress. This is particularly heartbreaking as her acting was the only thing in her life that she knew was real. Now she is doubting that, too.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, everyone gets miscast once in a while.
Agreed.
She's
yes.
clearly miscast completely.
Plus, she hasn't exactly been working on the acting craft for any
that
amount
is
of time.
True as well.
And that script, by all accounts, was just terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, you could have found 10 Oscar-winning actresses to try that role, and it would have been bad the way it was written.
I'm going to do one line for you. She's okay. in Gstaad, Switzerland, with her kids after she and Richard split up because he goes back to his wife, and she's sitting there smoking and drinking. Her kids are playing, and she goes, "I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored." I swear to God, just like that. And all right.
Strong.
I'm out.
Who is the celebrity, and this is a question for you two, who's the celebrity that all of the other celebrities in town are getting their picture with right now?
Ooh.
Celebrities in town getting their picture with from Star Magazine. That's right, Psy.
Oh.
That's right.
Not at the tip of my tongue.
Star Magazine says Miley Cyrus, Kathy Griffin, David Hasselhoff, Britney Spears, Simon Cowell, the girls from The View.
Really?
Everybody wants to get their picture with this dude.
What is he doing?
Well, Wumpa Gangnam Style.
I mean, look.
Promotion, I guess.
Yeah. If you check out that video, I think it was up to 800 million views.
Yes. Isn't that crazy? Over the weekend, it became the most viewed video of all time on YouTube. It passed Justin Bieber's Baby over the weekend, yeah.
Thank God. Real music. Very excited about that.
Yeah, Gangnam Style. That's real music.
That's my friend.
That's legendary rock and roll right there. Today's celebrity birthdays. Victoria Gotti turns 50 today. Curtis Armstrong, who, of course, was Booger in Revenge of the Nerds. It has just been working steady ever since. Also celebrates his birthday today. He is 59 years old today. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, who really was kind of back in the crosshairs, back in the news a lot this year when he kind of took on the people who don't believe in evolution.
Right.
He is 57 years old today. Actor Fisher Stevens turns 49 today. Actress Robin Gibbons, 48 today. Catherine Bigelow, who, of course, won the Oscar directing The Hurt Locker a couple of years ago and has the new Zero Dark 30 coming out next month.
So good.
Oh, how great does that look?
Yeah, it looks great.
She is turning 61 today, and one of my faves, Michael Vartan. Remember him from Alias?
Yes.
What's he been up to, by the way? 44 years old today. And Urkel, Jaleel White, turns 36, and that's the Showbiz Beat.
You want to see that band? They're going to be playing night number 2 of the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and we're going to give you tickets in the pit and backstage passes coming up later on this morning about 9:10.
Got an all-new Beans Death Corner for you coming up. Plus, Dave will explain how his beloved Los Angeles Clippers have now gone on a 4-game losing streak since he debuted his Clippers song.
I blame Dave.
Dave. First, though, we want to tell you about a new TV show that just debuted. Our friend Steve-O, by the way, is hosting this one. Happy to see Steve-O get some work. This is called Killer Karaoke, and it is on a channel called True TV, which I confess I do not spend much time with.
Right.
This show is like thousands of others before it. This is an American ripoff of a British show. They call theirs Sing If You Can. We call ours Killer Karaoke. Kevin, you watched a little bit of this over the weekend. Tell me what it's like.
Are you positive that it's a British show? Because they use a Japanese announcer for the show.
Oh,
so maybe it originated there. You know how crazy the Japanese are?
Right.
Yeah, I'll play the intro, and then if you have any questions, which I doubt you will, you can ask him. This is Killer Karaoke. Now, we love Steve-O. Love.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pitched, and we watched this show, and we thought, ooh, maybe for the next project. Here's the intro.
There are shows that test your courage. And others that test your singing skills.
Yeah!
But no show has ever done both until now.
That's true, by the way. That's a true claim.
Mm-hmm.
There are singing shows and there are shows that test your courage.
Okay.
None that mix them until now.
Steve-O takes the art of karaoke
so violated
and flips it on its head.
Whatever happens, do not stop singing.
Like a hit wave! I hate you, Steve-O!
Is Killer Karaoke.
Killer Karaoke.
How can you say no to Killer Karaoke?
Killer Karaoke.
That's too loud for me. This show is too loud.
Oh, this whole show is too loud for you. You'll hate it. But what they do is they torture people while they're singing a song. And so whether it's the person has to put their hand in a box and they have to touch stuff that they don't know what it is.
I would hate that.
Or in this particular case, there's a guy singing, and he's got like those dog shock collars. He's got one on his both arms and both legs.
Okay.
And they'll shock him whenever they want. And the key is you have to keep singing.
Okay. Now, how does it – they're not judging you on quality at this point. You just have to keep singing the song. And if you get to the end of their obstacle course, what? Do you win a prize or cash or something?
I don't know. Like, I got to the end of the show. Yeah, the winner wins 10 grand.
Oh, okay.
They did explain that. Yeah, the winner wins 10 grand. All right, now this guy, for some reason, is a chef, so he's serving Steve-O a meal. And while he's doing that, he's singing, and he's got the shock things on.
Jeez.
And you can hear in his voice, and you can hear the electrical shock sound every time that he gets shocked.
Lord, I was born rambling man, trying to make a living
doing the best I can. When it's time to leave it, I don't understand. Well, I was born a rambling man. My father was a gambler down in Georgia.
Oh, he's really good.
And he seems to be enjoying himself.
No, like he gets laughing. That it's fun.
He's laughing while he's singing.
He's laughing, but he's being tortured. I mean, he's not. Don't mistake that for having fun.
Okay.
I mean, it is a game show, and he's trying to win 10 grand, but yeah, that was bad.
That's kind of great.
And then, right? That's what I'm thinking. By the way, at this point, I'm starting to think, wow, I may be in. as much as we made fun of this show off the air and we turned down Steve-O, we might need to get Steve-O in because I think I'm in on this.
Now you like it.
On this particular show. Okay, so now they're going to take a woman and they're going to put her on a swing and they're going to swing her over a giant like container of water that's almost frozen. It's like 40 degrees.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they're going to dip her down in while she's singing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's called Swamp Swing.
How nervous are you right now?
I'm about to pee.
You probably will. But trust me, least of your worries. There's only one thing that you have to remember, and that is no matter what happens, do not stop singing. Performing Take On Me. Give it up for Melissa McLaughlin.
Take On Me. Who's the choice?
From from what, 1982?
That's a weird choice, right? I listened to it, I was like, she's singing what?
Killer karaoke.
So they move the swing over as she's swinging, and then they start dipping her in the cold water.
Okay.
Good start.
And I don't know what to say, so I'll say it anyway. Oh, my God. Today is my day to find you shying away.
That's where they dip her almost up into her waist.
Oh, I can hear it. You know, these people are good
singers.
She's
a good singer, right? Now, this is the part where we lose Bean. Because it's cold water. It's 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And then while she's singing the song, an assistant for the show walks out with a bucket and pours in giant snakes.
And
can they
anything,
survive in that?
Cold water snakes. They're cold water.
Anything goes on this show, right? They just basically say, we can do whatever we want to you as long as you keep singing, you win. Okay.
Now listen to her try to keep singing.
Now you're true, yeah, yeah.
So they're lowering her feet now up to her knees. Into water that has snakes all in it.
This is Guantanamo Bay is what this is.
This is
no longer a singing competition.
Maybe my new favorite show. I went into it. I went home yesterday. I was like, oh, my God, I have to go through this show. I can't believe it. But I'll bring in clips. It'll probably be funny. I love this show. Killer Karaoke rules, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not enough that they put snakes in. Then you put bigger snakes in.
Oh.
And then they walk out with baby alligators.
Oh, come on.
And they pour those into the water.
She already stopped singing.
And then they lower her into the water. So that...
Is
ladies
he
and
just
gentlemen,
trying to climb out?
And the Emmy goes to...
That's what I'm talking about. The best new TV show ever is Killer Karaoke.
Oh, man.
Torture. Add torture to American Idol. I'm in.
So I was off, this is Bean speaking here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I was off for 8 days in total for my surgery and recovery. Yesterday was my first day back on the radio. And by the way, please note how much better I sound today than I did yesterday.
You do, yeah.
You sounded pretty good yesterday.
I got a lot of sleep yesterday. I was just exhausted at the end of the show. It was far and away, yesterday's show was far and away the most I'd attempted to do at all since the surgery 2 weeks ago.
But Bean does the show from his house.
Right.
So it's not a little bit easier. Yeah. Drive and all that.
And, I mean, I'm used to years of getting off the air and then going, crawling back into bed and just crying to try to forget working with Beer Mug. I'm used to that.
Sure.
Yesterday, it
we
was
all do
just
that.
Sleep, 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 and I feel a lot better. So, you know, so far, so good. And I got to tell you,
one of the last conversations we had before I left for my surgery was, if I die, you had a solemn obligation to include me in a special edition of Beaton's Death Corner. Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. I have to scratch all of the prep we did.
So I did survive, so I will not be featured in this, but we do have an all-new Beaton's Death Corner for you anyway.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
He loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head. Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Normally, I understand that our voices sound very much the same, and I've just learned to take the blame for stuff Bean says, and then Bean learns to take the blame for stuff I say, because no one could tell. But let's not get this unclear. Bean is the death lover. Bean loves human death, makes him happy, and that's not me, Kevin.
When I was in the hospital, by the way, there were a couple of code blues that I heard announced over the speaker.
Did you get them over?
I wanted to get up and go walk down the hall and see who was going, but I wasn't able to do that. The only thing better than death is death at the holidays, and I have a couple of holiday-related stories for you. This one you might have heard about. It made the national news last Thursday during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Now, Kevin, this is going to be one of those stories that you're going to say is too sad.
All right.
Here's a 67-year-old man dressed as a clown who went into cardiac arrest in front of horrified spectators at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
How long do you think they were saying, is this part of his act?
Yes. He and his wife, by the way, who was also dressed as a clown, and the poor woman was desperately trying to revive him by administering CPR. Then passersby jumped in to try to help, too, as the wife was led weeping off to a parade cart.
Oh, man.
They're 67 years old. They're dressed as clowns in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They're making balloon animals at 6th Avenue and West 39th when he has a heart attack and dies on the street. That's the worst parade float ever.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I would guess that that's the only entry in that category.
Yeah, that's not what the kids are looking for when they go out to see the Snoopy balloon go down the street. Here's one the day after Black Friday. You know, it seems like America has done a pretty good job in recent years after some of those stampedes that we saw, those terrible videos of the doors opening at 5 a.m. at Walmart and people getting knocked down. It seems like they've done a pretty good job of trying to figure out a way to not have that happen anymore. This is the only Black Friday shopping death that I heard about. This is in Georgia at the Lithonia Walmart store there, where an unidentified man stole two DVD players and ran out of the store. Well, two Walmart employees and a security guard chased the guy into the parking lot where a physical altercation took place. The security guard put the guy in some sort of a headlock, and they called the police. When the police arrived, they found the man unresponsive, bleeding from the nose and mouth, and he was pronounced dead on the scene.
Whoa!
That's hardcore security, Walmart.
What's
and by the way, Kevin? What back in the days when you were a young, reckless teenager doing shoplifting, the worst that could happen was they catch you and they whack your pee-pee and say, "We're calling your mom, and you're not welcome back in our store." You don't expect to be chased out in the parking lot, put in a headlock, and killed, right?
I never got killed. I can attest to that.
I'm not sure that it was worth dying in the parking lot at 1:30 in the morning in Lithonia, Georgia, for a couple of DVD players that probably cost $50 each. I don't know that that was a good
choice. Where was the clown woman to give him CPR?
I'm sorry, she was too far away. Oh. Here's a very sad story. This is, if we ever do weddings gone wrong, let's keep this in mind, from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Media reports they say a Brazilian bridegroom bled to death at his own wedding reception when he tripped and fell on an empty glass.
Oh, my God.
Is that like the last thing in the world you expect? I mean, yeah, you fall down at your wedding reception, maybe, but you die? The freak accident occurred Monday morning. Some 6 hours after he and his wife tied the knot, wedding guests were dancing. He was dancing with one of the bridesmaids when he lost his balance, fell to the ground, and shattered the glass that he was carrying. A piece of glass severed his femoral vein, causing a massive loss of blood. He died shortly thereafter, being rushed to a nearby hospital. Worst wedding reception ever, right?
Did the bride take the mic and go, "Who's next?"
Am I going to have to give back these gifts?
Hey, that's an etiquette question, as a matter of fact. I don't know.
I would not think so.
Two more real quick. Here's a man horrified to arrive home on Monday and find out that his wife had been killed by their family dog, which had just been adopted a week before.
Oh.
She was a volunteer firefighter in Illinois. They adopted a dog 1 week ago, a 140-pound Mastiff. A week later, Husband arrives home, finds out that the dog has mauled her and that she's dead. That's not what you want when you adopt a family pet.
How do you know what that guy wanted?
That's the...
Whoa, maybe
that
pet was,
obeying orders. And from Denver, Colorado, we close out this edition of Bean's Death Corner. A lot of people sent this one to me because, there's nothing unusual about the way the guy died. He apparently just had a heart attack. The guy worked for the Regional Transportation District. He was 44 years old. He arrived home from work one day and had a heart attack on the sidewalk in front of his house. The reason this story made news, though, is because much later in the day, when the postal carrier showed up to deliver the mail, he walked past the man's still warm body to deliver the mail, turned around, and left the house.
What?
People are saying, hey, how about a heads up? You know, how about, dropping a dime, letting somebody know that there's a dead guy or nearly dead guy in
who
front
knows?
Of you on the sidewalk.
Yeah, he could have been, like, revivable.
That guy had quite a list of places to go, though.
That's what the family is complaining to the Postal Service. They're saying, hey, this guy, when they finally got the EMTs to him, they realized he had just died. He was still warm. Maybe if the mailman had done something, said something, maybe he might still be alive. So, a lot of people accuse the Postal Service of, bad publicity. They don't do the right thing. In this case, I mean, the guy, he's got a schedule. You know what I mean?
The post office killed that guy.
Yeah. How dare you?
He should be put on trial.
Great batch. It's an all-new Bean's Death Corner here.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I want to personally invite you to join us this Friday in Fullerton. We will be at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen, as we are every year about this time, to crown a new Miss Double December. Online voting is open now at krock.com. We're going to meet a couple more of the ladies in person here today. The beautiful Allie is coming in about a half an hour or so, and then Mimi joins us later on today. So every time they come in, they do an interview with us on the radio. We get a chance to meet the girls. We also film some video on the air and off the air that we put up at the website, too, so that you have everything at your disposal, so you can cast your vote at krock.com or kevinandme.com. Who do you want to be Miss Double December 2013?
Time for the AFRO line, 323-520-AFRO. I know it's antiquated, an answering machine. I get
that
it.
That is true.
But you can leave us a message on any topic so we can hear your voice and we can find out what you like and what you don't like. This is a reference, I believe, to a previous Miss Double December pageant.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
That was one of the greatest moments that has ever happened on this show. Doto joined us. Was it just last year that he was there?
I think so, yeah.
Just last year, Doto was on the dais with us, and I asked him if he was interested in dating any of the contestants for Miss Double D, which is a pretty straightforward question, single guy like Doto, but the way his mind worked, that was his response.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
I can't tell you, when I've had hard times, Doto's voice has run through my head, and that's what's gotten me through.
Speaking of Bean having a hard time getting through, he donated a kidney to Scott Mason.
Hey, what's Scott Mason's favorite food? Kidney beans. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fire beer mug.
But fire beer mug indeed. By the way, every one of the thousands of people that made a kidney bean joke
right,
thought they were the first.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad joke, but at least semi-poor delivery. So you got that going for you. Here's a song from Wing to Bean.
Oh.
Hey, Bean. I just really been sad that you've been gone, but I'm glad you're okay, and I just kind of had a song for you real quick to express how I feel for you.
We need you more than ever, Bean.
Wing.
Wing. Who's better than her? I ask you.
Yes.
Ooh wah, ooh wah. Bean can't poop outside my window.
I hope not.
Bean can't poop behind a tree. I wish he could fly home, but he can't poop for the life of he. Bean can't poop outside my window pane. Fire beer mug.
I have trouble with certain words, certain names.
Leonardo DiCaprio
is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, listen. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Damn it. Never mind. Yeah, not so easy, is it? This is Sam the Armenian Comedian.
Uh-huh.
Singing Christmas songs.
Great.
Help me understand it, Bean. I have no idea what's going on here.
Oh,
That's a waste of time.
Now, in true Sam the Armenian comedian fashion, he called Dave, the King of Mexico, and left a message about how unbelievably excited he was about the great Christmas song that he left on the
album. Oh, man. And that was it?
Oh, it's so good.
Hey, Dean, who's the president of China? Namor.
That's just for you, Bean.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sorry, what, Bean?
I was just saying, Sam doesn't know any of the words to that song. Why did he think that was good? That doesn't...
That is him in a nutshell. That's why I love him.
Yeah, I guess.
His talent is at the very bottom level, and his confidence is at the very high level. And I don't understand that either, but that's what I love about him.
Miss Double D, so many choices to choose from. Ashley, Mimi, Natalie, oh, beautiful. Sarah, beautiful. Shannon, beautiful. Oh, Mackenzie, oh, Kristen, Lux. Who am I going to choose? Who am I going to choose?
What's happening? Sorry.
What?
Meanwhile, you were out, the listeners decided to pick up on the throw-up comedy.
Oh, no. Yeah. I thought we were putting that one to bed. I thought we were done with that.
Oh, no. It happened many times while you were gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Kevin and Bean. It's great that you did the surgery. It's just now, stop with the puke. Please stop with the puke.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with you. But we can't control everybody.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. What's a making?
Fruitcake.
Yes.
That is the best Christmas song ever. I love it so much.
Hey, Dave, I think you might need to do a new Clipper song. What rhymes with four losses in a row?
Poor Dave.
And one final song for me.
Beansy balls. Baldy things are going to happen. Ooh. Beansy balls outside my window. Beansy balls outside the tree. I wish that the people could see how big these balls are for the life of me, but it's beansy balls outside my window pane. Bye, everyone.
Where do you put your balls there?
Well done. Why are your balls outside his window pane?
Yeah, stop it.
That's a good question.
Frankie the Answer Edgar from the UFC joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll meet another Miss Double D contestant. Allie comes up right after the top of the hour. First, though, one more day with Ralph Garman gone. He'll be back tomorrow. Here's Lisa May filling in on the showbiz beat. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Somehow I thought we were going to have a song. Okay, so.
Are you already? Good.
Yeah, sure. I'm good. There is nothing worse than being on a hit TV show.
That can be really terrible.
I mean, it's like winning the lottery and then your life just goes to hell. And one day you wake up in your pile of filth and you go, God, I wish that hadn't happened to me.
You wake up in a pile of money and you go, wow, this sucks.
Yes. So it's grueling. You have fame. You have fans. You have giant paychecks. I don't know how anyone survives it. And Charlie Sheen, you know, it almost killed him on 2 1/2 Men. And now Angus T. Jones is the next victim.
Now, who's that?
He's the half. Of the two
He's the kid.
Yeah, he's the kid.
All right.
And he only makes $350,000 an episode. So you can see right there why he would be so upset.
Did you say $350,000 an episode?
Yeah, poor boy.
Not a year, an episode.
An episode.
So, a week.
Yeah, a week. So TMZ says that Angus has found God. And God says that 2 1/2 Men is a filth. And you should not be watching it.
What?
And he actually released a video through this Christian church, I put air quotes around that, saying, please don't watch it. It's a horrible show. I have to keep doing it because I have a year left in my contract and they won't let me out.
Oh,
but,
F you.
But don't watch anymore.
Seriously.
By the way, I can do that for him. I'm not going to watch anymore or ever did.
I'm willing to not watch it as well.
Right?
But what do they do with him now? Like those poor people haven't been through enough at 2 1/2 Men. Do they fire him?
I don't know. Chuck Lorre hasn't said anything, and they say that there's a rehearsal this morning, but nobody knows if he's actually supposed to be at the rehearsal. But if he is and he doesn't show, then Maybe they'll send
a bunch of loons are on that show.
College or something.
Seriously.
I don't know.
What happened?
Does that make any sense?
Because it's hard to be on a hit show, Kevin.
Yeah.
Even if you felt that way, don't you just, if you're going to do the work, you just shut up and take the money, right?
Agreed.
You don't go out there and start trashing your show. That's insane.
Well, he's speaking from the heart.
I can't wait to see what happens.
Now.
He was a pussy.
Yeah.
There is something really cool going on at the Kirk Douglas Theater. It started last week. It's Second City's A Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
Twister Dickens. Second City, they do awesome work. So they've taken A Christmas Carol and put their own touch on it. And what they're doing is they have guest stars coming in to do a little piece at the beginning of the second act. Like Jason Alexander is going to do a night. Sharon Lawrence, Ben McKenzie, George Takei, Fred Willard. A lot of great people. And this Sunday at 3 is when you should go because I'm going to be doing it.
Wait,
yeah,
you said
I'm the guest star. It's going to be me on stage at the Kirk Douglas Theater in Culver City, 3 p.m. Sunday. I am the celebrity.
Where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there?
Kirk Douglas Theater, 3 p.m. Hey, this Sunday. I'm the guest on stage.
Hey, Lisa.
Second City, a Christmas Carol.
Stick with guest.
I'm the
Ixnay on the star.
What are you doing?
What's your part?
Well,
are you playing the donkey? What are you doing?
They have the celebrity guest stars come out at the beginning of the second act. I don't know how much I'm supposed to say, but basically, it's like a Masterpiece Theater thing, and you introduce the second half of the show.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
So come see me. Tickets are very reasonable. It's a great theater. Okay, so anyway. Moving on. Last week, we talked to Rich Eisen about his Thanksgiving special.
Yes.
Which sounded awesome.
Bradley Cooper, a bunch of other people.
Right. Eric Stone Street, Rainn Wilson, and Bradley Cooper. It's so funny you mentioned that because that whole piece was cut.
It was?
And what could be more perfect? I mean, the whole movie is not about football, but like football is such a backdrop in that movie.
Right.
His love of the Eagles, his dad's love of the Eagles. Well, it's because there was betting shown in the clip. That they pre-recorded, which...
Can't they just cut that part?
Well, it was in the clip. It was all pre-recorded, put together. So they just dumped the whole interview.
Oh, ouch.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Harvey Weinstein is pissed.
I imagine.
And you don't want to make him...
No, you don't really.
He's an angry, angry man.
Yeah, that was probably good booking to get those guys on the NFL Network
to
promote that movie.
Right?
And that just fell apart. It was a waste of everybody's time if they didn't air it. But I agree with Kevin. It seems like they could have chosen a different clip sometime before airtime and just inserted that. Doesn't seem like they need to dump the whole segment.
No, that seems it must have been like a real last minute. Oh my God.
Yeah, I guess. Nice.
Maybe he had already taped it
and he had left. Maybe.
Right.
Probably. But I mean, we know people bet.
Yeah, I know.
The NFL is pretty skittish about any kind of association with gambling because they would be shocked to find out that people were wagering on football.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that happened.
Weird.
And Kevin Clash, the ex voice of Elmo. Has another accuser who's come out of the woodwork.
Oh, dear God. Elmo was busy.
This is number 3.
Elmo was freaking busy.
Claiming an underage sexual relationship. He is filing his lawyer says he is filing a lawsuit in federal court, but he's not going to be named. He's filing it under the name of John Doe. He doesn't want to go public, but his lawyer is announcing it.
Yeah, so that's nice of his lawyer.
That confuses me a little bit.
That's alleged.
So his problems are far from over.
Have all the consensual adult sex you want, people. But seriously, check that birth certificate, all right? 18 is the law.
Hands.
I don't care whether you're Elmo or not. 18.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do birthdays. Let's see, who do we have? I got to find him first.
You don't have a list?
Do you have us? No, I give you one. Oh, okay. Bill Nye, who taught me that soap makes water wetter. Think about
soap
it, people.
Soap makes water wetter.
Yes, it's his birthday today.
Interesting fact.
It's science.
Robin Givens. Oh, my God. When's the last time we heard her name? Michael Vartan, who is an alias. Jaleel White from Family Matters. And Allison Pill from The Newsroom. I love her.
I do, too.
It's all their birthdays. And that's the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Alleged.
Oops, sorry. It is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
This is actually not alleged. We are looking for a new Miss Double December 2013. It's time to meet yet another contestant.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
boobies.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Big juicy melons.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
I'll tell you, the kids, Allie. The little kids, they love the women.
They sure do.
That's what I've noticed. Sure.
Allie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
The voting is over.
Nope.
Doesn't work that way. Now.
What? Whoever the last girl Kevin sees is the one that he wants to win, because it is wonderful to meet all of you in person. Here's the way it works is we have the top 10 finalists up at KevinandBean.com. You can go and cast your vote once per day to the girl you want to see represent the Kevin and Bean Show as Miss Double December 2013. And then all this week, we get the girls in. We get a chance to meet them, interview them, find out what their special skills are. And then you get a chance to see them yourself in person Friday at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. So, Allie, let's learn a little bit about you. How old are you? What part of town you live in? What do you do? All that good stuff.
I'm 21. I'm from Burbank, California, and right now I'm an X-ray tech, and I'm still a student for to become a radiologist technician as well.
A radiologist?
Yes.
That's an unusual field of work. What attracted you to that?
I have a lot of family who is in the medical field, and I originally wanted to be a nurse, and then I got really into radiation because it just caught my attention right away.
No one has ever said the sentence, I got really into radiation on this program before.
Never heard of that.
I know.
Okay. Look, I've had my share of x-rays. No one who looks like you has ever been running the x-ray machine.
That's
crazy.
Maybe they start looking like you, but then like 2 years into it with all the radiation, then they just go right to hell. You might want to think about that. Now, you said you're from Burbank.
Yes.
And we're in Culver City. Mm-hmm. And you left at what time this morning to get here?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Traffic is bad.
So she left being an hour before I did.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't want to be late.
That, we appreciate that because we've had many past years where the contestants are late or non-existent, and that just makes it difficult. So thank you. But 4 a.m. is a little extreme.
Tell us again, we're talking to Allie. If you want to play the home game and follow along, you can see her pictures. And you sent in a bunch of photos, which we very much appreciate, that are up at KevinandBean.com. Tell us how you found out about the pageant this year.
I was just listening in on the radio, and a friend told me about it, and he's like, sign up, and I did, and here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your boobs for a little bit. How old are they?
They are 21 years old.
She's 21.
Oh, there you go.
They're young.
She's 21.
I know, but so far, everyone we've met, their breasts are like a year old, 2 years at top.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? I didn't realize that we had any naturals in the competition this year. That's fantastic. What do you think of the other girls? Have you perused the competition, Allie?
I think they're all very beautiful girls. I've seen them all. I haven't got a chance to read all their bios because my internet sucks at home.
Right.
But I looked at them. They're pretty nice girls.
Yes. I got to tell you, it's pretty good batch, if I could refer to them that way.
And, of course, what you're playing for is the opportunity to, you know, mostly just hang out with Kevin and Bean. I mean, that's really the draw for the girls. But you get lots of free stuff. You get tickets to both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, which is coming up in a couple weeks. You get tickets to the Weenie Roast. You get tickets to our April Foolishness, our singles party, our breakfast that we do next year, all the live events. I mean, it's super fun. You actually become part of the K-Rock family if you win. Now, Friday out in Fullerton, and you better leave now to get to Fullerton in time.
Hey, just before you get to Friday, Dean, I want to ask you one other question, and that is, you said you had a Twitter account.
I do.
So you know what 140 characters means.
Yes.
Yeah, your answer to describe yourself in 140 characters or less is about 400 characters long. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right, now let's get to Friday in the pageant.
What are you doing on stage for your talent portion of the competition, Allie?
I'm doing this really weird arm thing that I do. It's like I'm double jointed and I can fit my head through this hole that I do in my arms.
Whoa. Yeah, I was going to say that. There needs to be something there. wrote down really weird thing with my arms, and we were like,
don't know what that is.
That's weird.
How did you discover that you were double jointed, Allie? And please make this a good story.
Well.
Please make this involve spring break in Mexico.
No, honestly, I was just 12.
Okay. kill that, please.
That music is gone.
And I just discovered it. And actually, my stepdad, he's like, oh, can you do this? I was like, oh, of course I can. And I tried. And I was like, I did it. And
no, wait, is your stepdad double jointed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Odd. Okay. So now he's putting you to the test.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I did it.
You got to move closer to the microphone.
Thank you. I realized that not a lot of people can do it.
Yeah.
So I felt special.
All right. Well, of course, you're here in the interview. You're falling deeply in love with Ali, as we all are. But we are filming this, and we're going to put this and some other backstage stuff up on the website so you can get a chance to learn more about our contestant here. You're going to do this for us now on the air, though, right? We're going to actually get to see you with the arm thing.
Yes.
See you with the arm thing.
Now, the weird thing I do with my arms is her talent.
How much room do you need?
Not a lot.
Okay, so we can do it in here. Is that all right, Cody?
Okay.
Cody's all right.
I don't know if I can do it with these headphones.
Well, take the headphones off.
You can take them off. Yeah.
Okay.
This is going to make, once again, fantastic radio.
Do you want me to stand?
Yes.
Okay.
Do whatever's most comfortable.
Then I want to see you do it.
Is that top too tight? Do you need that? I mean, I just...
Yes, if your top was too tight.
No.
No, it's good.
No.
She just did it. Okay, take your shirt off. Yeah.
All right, here
we go. She just did a check, though, Bean, so thank you for asking.
Doing that weird thing with her arms.
Ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. It's like 2 seconds.
All right.
Ta-da!
Whoa. All right.
Yay!
The possibilities. Is it going to be a crowd pleaser on stage?
It's pretty quick. I can put your headphones back on. It's pretty quick, but it's impressive.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Don't be jealous.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Ali. You can go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com, and you can cast your vote. What are you doing, by the way? How are you getting the word out to get people to vote for you, Ali?
Twitter and Instagram, and then I have my really good friend who is blowing my page up all over any page.
Okay.
Very nice.
All right. We will see you Friday at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. If folks want to come down and see you and the other contestants and see who gets crowned Miss Double December 2013, we just ask that you bring a new unwrapped toy. It's our annual Toys for Tatas. Our friends with the Marines will be there accepting your toys. Live broadcast starts at around 5 o'clock, and all the details are at krock.com. Thanks, Ali.
Bye. Thanks.
Kevin, I know how much you love the UFC.
I do.
And you know it's a special kind of fighter who can move between weight classes. That's one of the most difficult things to do is fight at not your natural weight. And that's why this fight coming up on Saturday, February 2nd, which, by the way, is Super Bowl weekend at Mandalay Bay Event Center, Las Vegas, is one that everybody's interested in. UFC featherweight champion Jose Aldo is going up against former UFC lightweight champion Frankie Edgar, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Frankie, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're good, thank you. I got to tell you, one of the things I like the most about the UFC is you can watch a fight and you count the person out. You go, wow, he's stunned, he's dizzy, he doesn't know where he is, he's bleeding, he can't see out of his eyes because of the blood. It's only a matter of time until, wow, what just happened? And then the guy comes back, and you're the poster boy for that kind of fight.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of variables in MMA, a lot of ways to win, and you know, ties can change at the drop of a dime.
But when you're really nailed, when you're really in trouble, though, I mean, what's going through your mind? Is it just buy yourself enough time to get your wits about you, or do you ever start doubting, like, wow, this could be it?
You know, I'll be honest, I'll tell you, but I don't remember.
You don't remember?
luckily, I have a great corner, you know, and I guess when I'm you know, pretty rocked, I zero in on them, and I do listen to them. You know, I go back, watch some fights, and I hear my corner, you know, screaming instructions, and I'm actually listening. So it's good to know that I got a familiar voice in the corner that can guide me through it.
That is really remarkable just to hear you say that, Frankie, because most of us would just be going on instinct at that point. We wouldn't have the mental acuity to pay attention to the surroundings. We would just be thinking, that hurts. Please stop. What can I do to make this beating stop? So that's very interesting how strong your mind is in addition to your body during a fight. Wow.
Frankie, what is it like to – you're dropping down in weight to fight Jose Aldo. Now, Jose Aldo is not a no-name, and he's not an easy fight by any stretch of the imagination, even though he fights in a lighter weight class. He's a tough dude, and he doesn't lose. How do you go into – what's your mindset?
Yeah, you know, I'm used to this. It's going to be my seventh title fight in a row. You know, I fought some big names in this sport, and, you know, I'm just going to approach like I approach every fight. You know, obviously, he possesses a lot of skills, and, you know, he's the top guy at featherweight, but, you know, my job's to go in there and knock him off.
Why did you want to switch weight classes?
You know, I just thought it was the right time. Everybody's been telling me I'm too small for 155. I should cut down, you know, even Dana, you know, a bunch of media and stuff. So, you know, after my last two fights, I didn't go my way. I was a little disappointed. I just felt it was just a good time to, you know, change the landscape.
Now, Kevin, you were telling me something that I thought was really interesting. I don't know if it was a theory or not about one of the reasons why these lighter weight class fights are so entertaining is because you don't see knockouts, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, basically, they go at each other like crazy all fight, and you keep thinking that they're going to, you know, knock somebody out. Now, most of the time, a heavyweight has that kind of knockout power. And you've knocked out power, Frankie. You've knocked out opponents. But for the most part, you guys don't knock each other out.
Yeah, I bet you if you look at the percentages, it's probably a low percentage of knockouts in the lighter weights. And that's true. I think it does have to do with just the size. And I think what's most entertaining about the lighter guys is, you know, that it's just a pace. You know, we can fight at a higher pace. We're not carrying as much weight around as the big guys. And usually lighter guys are a little more technical. So you get to see that part of the sport as well.
You could take a heavyweight fight and just fast forward through it, and that would be what... That would be what watching Frankie Edgar is like. It's crazy how fast you guys move and how quickly you see things and react to it, and you end up on your back, and it's just it's nutty how fast the fight goes. And it seems like you guys fight 10 minutes for every 5-minute round.
Yeah, yeah, but the output in there is it's pretty crazy. You know, good thing we train pretty hard for these fights. You know, it'll be tough to take these fights on short notice, you know, so especially 5-5-minute rounds. You know, title fights are... you know, you got to prepare properly for them.
And how do you do that? What's your training regimen right now?
You know, I train 2 to 3 times a day, you know, boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, and obviously strength and conditioning training. So it varies, and it doesn't get any easier, you know.
Yeah. What do you do to let off steam in between all that training? You play video games? You sports?
I have two young kids. So they take all the steam left. All the steam out of me.
Yeah. Yes, that's as exhausting as anything you're doing in the octagon, looking after two young kids. What have you seen? I'm sure you've watched all of Jose's big fights over the past few years. What have you seen is his scariest weapon when you've seen him beat Florian and Faber and guys like that?
Well, you know, he has a devastating leg kick, obviously. That's no secret. He utilizes that in his fights, you know, tremendously. And, you know, he's just a pretty dynamic striker. He's very fast, very explosive. So that's going to be an issue, you know, that address.
Frankie, let me ask you this question. I always wonder why fighters let those leg kicks land so often instead of checking them. It seems like once you're in the ring, you sort of don't care about the leg kick. You're looking for something bigger. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. You know, you can't just let it go by because, you know, keep leg kicking and eventually it's gonna slow you down and definitely become a nuisance for the rest of the fight. So, you know, it's just tough. It's tougher than people think to check them. How about that? You know,
they
time them pretty well and they get them off. So that's something I'm definitely working on in the gym is addressing his leg kicks.
I think everything about the UFC is tougher than we think it is. It's so easy to watch these fights from our living room, dude, but I can't even imagine what it's like in there. We're talking about UFC 156, Aldo versus Edgar is one of many great fights on the bill that night. The reason we're bringing it up now, by the way, even though the fight isn't until February 2nd in Las Vegas, is because tickets are going on sale Friday at Ticketmaster. And as we have often said on the Kevin and Bean Show, you haven't lived until you've seen one of these UFC fights in person, so you ought to get those tickets.
Hey, Frankie,
Friday,
is this
Ticketmaster?
I'm sorry, Bean. Friday at Ticketmaster. Is this the same weekend as Super Bowl?
Yeah, yep. The night before Super Bowl. Super Bowl weekend in Vegas. So
come on.
It's going to be a big weekend for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Saturday, February 2nd at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, Las Vegas. If you're unable to make it, of course, you can get it at 7 o'clock on the pay-per-view. The main event, featherweight title super fight between UFC featherweight champion Jose Aldo and former UFC lightweight champion Frankie Edgar with his two small kids wearing him down every day between now and February. Frankie, so glad we had a chance to talk to you, man. Good luck in February, dude.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Comedian Bill Burr joins us next hour. Plus, we'll meet another of the contestants vying to be Miss Double December 2013. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, before we get to the showbiz beat, how about this? Boy, K-Rock has been crushing the advanced screenings on some of the best movies of the year all year long, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's just amazing how many early looks we've given you at some of the most anticipated movies of the year. How about The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey? It opens up everywhere on Friday, December the 14th. You get to see it three nights earlier at the AMC Century City 15. That's on December the 11th. If you are a Tolkien fan, you're like me, you can't wait for this. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 this hour. You win tickets to see The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
Ralph is out as he went to the Philadelphia Eagles game last night, which did not end well. But he will be back tomorrow. We are filling in for the Showbiz Beat. Cy is the man, apparently, in Hollywood. Cy is the dude. He's the man. Which is fascinating considering nobody can understand his song. But Miley, here's some of the celebrities that have taken their picture with her. Miley Cyrus, Kathy Griffin, David Hasselhoff, Britney Spears, Simon Cowell, all the girls from The View.
Wow.
Basically, everybody wants to get their picture taken with Psy. Isn't that crazy? I'm sorry, do you mind? Hang on one second, Bean. Do you mind if I check my... I forgot to check my messages before. Hang on one second.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Sorry, it's
kind of weird.
Yeah. Time for this?
Just give me a second. I know I have a message on there. I just can't remember.
Please dial your password and press pound.
That'd be worth
Kevin,
it.
How are you? Hello, my name is Sai. Gangnam Style. Oh, Gangnam Style. Yeah, I'm Sai. How are you? I heard that you're the first guy in the whole U.S. boundary that who plays my song. The very first time and the very first person.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to see you soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Sai.
Kevin, how are you?
Yes, you already said that. I don't know why that's on there twice.
How? But who?
Sorry, are you going out with him?
I just needed to check my message. That's all. Let's get back to the showbiz.
This is you, the guy who was going to be Psy for Halloween and decided it was too much work.
That's
your close personal friend, Psy.
Hey, wow. You know, when we aired it on the Internet Roundup, we introduced a whole new world to it.
I guess so.
I didn't know we did that.
Who knew?
Hey, I was out recovering from kidney surgery last week when you had one of my all-time favorite guests on the show. Travis Barker came in here from Blink 182. Talk about his new EP that's out right now. Did you guys talk about the controversy of him with the police lately?
We didn't.
Did you guys get into that at all?
We didn't because I sensed he didn't really want to get into it on the air, but I asked him off the air.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What's
your story? Back in October, of course, you remember that he was driving his kids to school. He got pulled over by the police, and he essentially said that they were just, just based on the way he looked with the shaved head and the tattoos and everything like that, that they were profiling him, basically. He says they accused him of having drugs and weapons in the car. Obviously, they didn't find anything because that's not how Travis rolls. He didn't get a ticket or anything like that, but he says the police profiled him. Well, TMZ caught up with him yesterday and asked him about it. And he said, here's a quote. I think they stereotype a lot. I effing hate the police, to be honest.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing about Travis Barker. He has now shaved his head and is fully tattooed.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. All over his entire head. So when they pulled him over, they were, he told me, 100% convinced he was a gangbanger.
Yeah, totally.
Never gave him the time of day, never asked him any real questions, just yanked him out and went through his car and just treated him like dirt.
That is the definition of profiling.
Yeah.
You assume someone is guilty based on their appearance, and no one is cleaner than Travis Barker, for God's sakes. Anyway, I effing hate the police, to be honest, which may not be the greatest thing in the world to say if you want less involvement in your life from the police. I think they're out of control. You see it on the news every day, them killing like teens because they think they have something and they're in cuffs. Like, I've seen all sorts of stories. Mine was really minor, but I think they overdo it sometimes. I think they get ahead of themselves. If anything, I should have got it 20 years ago. That's when I deserved it, not when I'm going to pick my daughter up, says Travis.
Oh, right. He was going to pick his daughter up and she had to wait. She was the last one there.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, anyway, interesting story. Interesting to see what kind of interactions happen now with Mr. Barker and the police.
I'm sorry, I just need to hear.
Kevin, how are you? Hello, my name is Sai. Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Right, I know. Thank you. Thank you for the message, Sai. CD's out today. Rage Against the Machine has a 20th anniversary edition deluxe box set.
Yeah, 20 years since their debut album, right? So they put some live tracks together and some demos and stuff?
Bunch of stuff. Two CDs, two DVDs, and one LP.
Nice.
So you can get it all today. You can also get Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys if you like that. If you're into Glee, you can get that music today. DVDs, movies, Step Up Revolution, Man in Black 3, Paranorman, and Sparkle all come out today. And TV on DVD, and this is why we're alive today, to be honest, is because we can get Hot in Cleveland Season 3.
Oh, thank God.
On DVD, which we've all been waiting for.
Thank God I can finally delete every episode off of my DVR now that I own it on DVD. And one more story, then we'll make some room for Bill Burr. I thought this was interesting. You know, we're into December now, almost, and that means you start seeing the year-end surveys, year-end lists about everything. This is the first one that I've seen. This is the top internet searches for 2012. Now, this isn't Google. This is Bing. This is their list of the top internet searches. I thought this was interesting. Who do you think the top searched athlete was of 2012?
Top searched. Who had the biggest scandal this year?
Well, I would have guessed Tim Tebow. That would have been my list. He actually came in at number three on the list, but number one of searched athletes on Bing was...
I have a guess.
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, I'm sorry. Peyton Manning was number one.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I guess that makes sense because of his recovery and switching teams and everything like that. Tiger Woods was number two, then Tebow, then Maria Sharapova was number three. Kobe Bryant was number five. Top musicians. Who do you think the most searched musician was in 2012?
Bieber.
Bieber was number one. Whitney Houston, number two, because, you know, she dead. Then Katy Perry, Selena Gomez, and Rihanna. That's your top five. Top television show search on the internet.
Television
2 1/2
show.
Men.
No, not anymore.
Is it Charlie Sheen?
Oh, maybe. Yes. No.
No.
American Idol was number one.
Oh,
isn't that a surprise in 2012 that American Idol would still be most searched?
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars, number two. The Young and the Restless, number three.
What?
The Walking Dead 4 Family Guy was number five. Overall, most searched person of the year.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Again, a good guess, Kevin. I'm sorry. Who was the most searched person of the year, according to Bing, for 2012? I'll give you a hint. It's not Justin Bieber this year for the first time in a while. He fell to number two.
It's not Psy, is it?
It's not Psy. It's not Psy.
No, but I'm saying that video is so huge this year.
Is it music or acting?
Politician?
Well,
Obama.
She would claim both, but in fact, it's Kim Kardashian, really kind of neither.
Oh,
Kim
porn
Kardashian
stars.
Was number exactly, porn stars. Today's celebrity birthdays, Catherine Bigelow, celebrating number 61 today. She was the first female director to win the Academy Award for Best Directing for her film called The Hurt Locker, and of course, she's got the new Zero Dark Thirty coming out in a couple weeks. That just looks fantastic.
It does look good.
Michael Vartan from Alias, 44 years old today. Urkel, actor Jaleel White, turns 36 years old today. Actor Fisher Stevens is 49. Robin Gibbons, actress, former Mrs. Mike Tyson, 48 years old today. Victoria Gotti is 50. And Booger in Revenge of the Nerds, actor Curtis Armstrong, celebrates a birthday today. He is 59, and that's your show.
All right.
What am I doing when the zombies come? I start reading up on get some powdered food. Plant some zucchini, and that's all well and good, but if you don't know how to fight, all you're doing is gathering supplies for the toughest guy in the block. That's funny, though, when you talk about getting a gun, you know? Yeah, actually, you increase your chances of getting shot by 80% the second you get a gun in the house. Really? What, because I'm going to load it and shower with it? Like, you get a pool in your backyard, you immediately increase your odds of drowning in your backyard. Right? You couldn't do that before. Now you step on a rake and you go. I actually like Los Angeles. One of the few East Coast people that likes it. All my moron New York friends and Boston friends, they come out there, try to get a good slice of pizza at 4 in the morning. They can't. Like, place sucks. It's not like exactly where I left. What's the point of traveling if it's going to be different? Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Burr.
By the way, Bill, I don't know if you have talked to any friends back east. Snowing in Boston this morning, right now, snowing in Boston.
He can turn up your headphones.
You can turn up your headphones now.
Oh, okay. Was he not listening? I'm sorry.
He doesn't.
Can I tell you
why?
Because we played that intro and he doesn't like to listen to himself. So he turned off his headphones.
Well, you've got more issues than I knew, my friend.
Right. Oh, I'm a comedian, dude.
Give it away.
Say it again, Bean. He'll hear you this time.
Snowing in Boston this morning. Don't know if you've talked to anybody back east, but they got their first snowfall happening right now.
Oh, that's great. That's good to hear.
Good for them.
That's good to hear. No, you get worried about that global warming. You know, some polar bear is going to swim up to your apartment out here in L.A., so it's good to know it should be snowing back there. It's almost December.
Yeah, almost true. December, right.
Right.
Here's what I love about Bill Burr. God bless him for coming in today because he has 5 sold-out shows at the Bray Improv this weekend. So basically, he's promoting nothing at this point. The shows are already sold. He couldn't sell any more tickets if he wanted to, but thank you for being here anyway.
I came in because I missed you guys.
Well, we appreciate that.
And I miss that morning drive traffic.
Yeah. You love that, sitting in it on your way here, right?
Oh, yeah. I try so hard. Not to
and
lose my
Bill,
mind.
By the way, it sounds like had my back a little bit right as he sat down, and we were just getting caught up with a little bit of chit-chat.
Bill did not know that Bean donated a kidney, mm-hmm. So we were just explaining to him during that song that Bean donated a kidney, and the conversation came up, does this wipe out all the bad he's done? Bill said...
Absolutely. Automatically in heaven. You took an organ out of your body, gave it to somebody else so they could continue living.
That's what Bill said immediately was, at least one of us is going to heaven. That's what he said. And I was like, whoa, pump the brakes a little bit. He's done a lot of dick moves. A lot.
That's got to wipe out at least a decade and a half.
Maybe, but that doesn't put him even. You know what I mean? Like we were talking about, he wouldn't give up his seat for the pregnant woman on the plane. She was in the first row. She was pregnant. Oh, by the way, first row of first class.
I got to tell you, that's pretty gangster, though.
She said, would you mind switching with me?
And he said no.
Oh,
he actually said yes. Yes, I would mind. But right. Thank you, you and your six-month-old baby, for asking.
Here's the thing. He had reasons, but he didn't bother to explain any of them.
Yeah, he wanted.
I would at least give her the reason why.
He wanted the leg room, and he specifically booked that seat because he liked the room.
He's
and
real
the
tall.
Fact that you could put stuff under the seat in front of you, which you can't in the front seat. But if she's a pregnant woman and she stands up, and probably the first class is only six or eight seats, right, Bean?
Right, but not my problem that she's a pregnant lady in row one. Has nothing to do with me.
Well, it does in that the airline can't let her sit there.
You know when you book it.
But now, if you have the front row and you got the bulkhead there, then you have to put all your stuff up.
Yeah, that's what Bean
does. It's a big pain in the butt.
But he just said, no, I won't switch.
Why can't she be in the front row? Because if the plane crashes and she goes flying into a the back of a seat, she's going to live?
That's a good question.
As opposed to hitting that hard plastic?
They don't let anyone sit in the exit row.
Yeah, you have to be able-bodied. You can't be old. You have to be over 15. I mean, you know, they have those rules about those exit rows. But, I mean, honestly, look, do I have an obligation to switch seats with somebody just because they ask? I say no.
But I would go a different way and say, probably in most cases.
I would say this. A lot of people would have given up their seat, but in their head would be like cursing around or be like upset that they had.
Sure.
Especially in first class. At least he was honest. And I would go even further and say that he was probably attracted to a lot of females. There's a man who knows what he wants.
Really?
There's a guy who doesn't back down.
Interesting. I hope that's true.
Yeah, it's not.
Because when we talked about it on the air, when it happened, they were like, everyone hated you on that plane. How dare you speak to a pregnant woman like that? Bill, you travel more than anyone I know. You're on a plane all the time. You run into utter misery? Is it the worst for you, or have you a coping mechanism now where you're able to survive it?
Yeah, I have a coping mechanism. It's called using all my miles to bump me up into first class as much as I can. But like I do hate when the couple comes on and they got like this one seat over here, one over there, and they go, would you mind just switching with us? You know, we're a couple, we just blah, blah, blah. And they're always like 10 rows back in like a middle seat or sit next to a fat guy. And it's never good. It's never good.
See, I would say yes in most of those cases. I would, just because, you know, when
just say you're superstitious. Look, if I switch seats, I feel like this whole thing's going to crash. You don't want to die, do you?
Wow, that's a great answer.
Just be like Bean and just be like, yeah, I would mind.
Couldn't be.
This is my seat right here. I got my name on it, and there's the number.
I can't be that way. I couldn't be like
that. So that's the thing. But you're not doing it because you're a good guy. You don't want to do it because of the embarrassment.
That's
how you're going to be perceived. Yes, that it is, because I said that and you broke eye contact.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Bill.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, maybe there's some of that, but I also feel like if there's a couple or something else and they're not sitting with each other, especially if they have kids and they want to sit by them, whatever.
Pour as much sugar on it as you can.
No,
I saw the look on your face.
Oh,
you were annoyed.
Right in the eye with this.
Bean is an honest guy.
He's honest.
He's honest.
Dick.
Yes, I would. Well, that's the weird thing about life. It's like if you actually do what you want to do, then you're a dick.
Right,
because
there are other people on this world besides you.
If you do what other people want you to do, then you're a great guy. Those people aren't your friends. I like you if you do what I want you to do. That's like dictator thought. Good for being.
Thank you, Bill. Bill, you need some sort of a self-help or assertiveness tape that you can sell to people.
Well, somebody has to offset that Dr. Phil. He's even trashing guys in, like, commercials. You seen that commercial where the guy's going to go buy the big Christmas tree?
No.
He wants the frosted one, and Dr. Phil comes up. It's him and his wife are standing there, like this guy and his wife. And Dr. Phil comes up in this SUV, starts driving like a maniac, not looking at the road, just tearing this guy a new one, telling him, why are you getting the giant Christmas tree? What are you trying to overcompensate for? You know. Anytime a guy wants something big, they always say it's because he's worried about his...
Is this an ad for his show?
I don't know what it's an ad for. It's so annoying, I never even get to the ad. Yeah. I don't even know what they're trying to sell me, but it's just... I'm really getting sick of that. Like, if you see a guy in a giant truck with like a lift kit,
right?
It's like, oh, he's trying to overcompensate, or it's like, or maybe he's into trucks. He wants to customize it, make it look a little different. Like those nerds when they put their stickers on their laptops, aren't they doing the same thing? Are they trying to overcompensate for their penis size by having a more, like, I don't know, visible laptop?
I'd go with yes.
You would? No. Maybe he has to get the lift kit because his thing is so big. He needs that clearance when he gets out. There's a more positive way to look at it.
Sure.
There you go.
Sure. See, Bill's reading between the lines, man. That's why he's a student.
I'm going against the grain here.
All
going against the grain.
All of a sudden, he's all supportive.
Yes,
he's always the guy to take a swipe at you, and now all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, Bill's
See, Bean is my friend. Bean always trashes me, and this is the first time I've come in here and agreed with him, and now all of a sudden he's on board. That's not a true friend.
That's correct. I tell you you're full of crap. That's a true friend.
Exactly.
All right. There you
go. I think Bill Burr is finally making some sense. That's what I say. You can hear Mr. Burr on the Bill's Monday Morning Podcast, and you should, and you can't see him this week because he's all sold out at the Brea Improv, so don't even bother going to BreaImprov.com. More with Bill right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Our friend Bill Burr in studio with us right now. Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast, of course, and the Brea Improv. Five big sold out shows happening this weekend, but you'll be back, Bill. This isn't your fans' last chance to see you, right? There'll be more.
Sorry, I didn't have your mic on. My bad.
Yes, there'll definitely be more.
Maybe it was a Celtic
I don't think
sweatshirt.
I'll be able to retire. I wore the Celtics sweatshirt for you, Kevin.
I'm just saying, maybe that's why your mic didn't get turned on. Are you one of those people that looks at the Lakers and goes, yeah, let's see them implode?
No, I don't think they're going to. I think they're a great franchise.
I don't think they are either.
I think
they're
going to come back. Although I had major issues with Kobe walking off the court with 10 seconds left and just not having his feet held to the fire. He should have been benched for the first quarter. You know what I mean? That's basically... I mean, that's like a team cancerous thing to do. Like, well, I scored my 30. You guys need to get your act together, and you're walking off like that.
Yeah, it's a dick move. He makes those every once in a while.
And it's a every once in a while?
Okay. Still love him.
Either me or Shaq. One of us has to go. Dude, we just won 3 championships. What is the problem? I want to score more points. I mean, come on. I'm not saying the guy's awesome. He's an unbelievable player. But, like, something like that. And then I was watching, like, ESPN, and even they didn't criticize him. Like, Stephen A. Smith was going, well, he has a very high basketball IQ. This is just indicative of the frustration the man is feeling. But Pau Gasol was like 0 for 5, and he starts ripping up Pau Gasol. Like, Pau Gasol hasn't had great games. He had a bad game. He didn't walk off the court.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe that's how you got. He basically.
I love Kobe.
He has the Lakers organization by the short hair.
He does. I agree. But there's also a lot of people gave him a lot of hard time for when he was saying that he wanted to be traded because they weren't, you know, he was so upset they weren't winning and everybody was mad at him. And I thought, thank God somebody's that mad. I was
happy
that
that's the part that I like about
me,
him. I don't like that stuff where they start going, he's got 5, Jordan has 6. It's just like, it's not, you can't compare the two guys. They've brought everybody in short of Jesus to help Kobe get 5 rings. Okay? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Please,
come on, dude! They're like the Yankees of basketball.
But Jordan had help.
Jordan had Pippen,
who was great.
He got drafted. That was their guy. That's okay. Like saying the Lakers had Worthy. They drafted him. They brought in one big guy. They brought in Rodman. That was it. Other than that, dude, how long do you think Kobe would sit there with Luke Longley or Bill Cartwright as a center?
But he shouldn't.
Before he started stomping off the court.
Of course, he shouldn't.
Okay, what do you mean he shouldn't?
He shouldn't, because that's a
Jordan won 6 championships with those two guys as his center.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there. I'm not saying he's not a champion. I'm not saying he's not a great guy, but he is not in the same realm.
But you're a Celtics fan, so I can't accept anything that you're saying for that
reason.
We bought
a championship in 2008. That's,
yes, we bought one.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had to keep up with all the ones you guys have been buying during the Kobe era. That's how the game's played now. I don't look at the champions of this era when you jump on a pylon team. That's you can't say you're like Bird, Magic, Dr. J, and all those guys before. Those guys, Isaiah, where you just stuck with your guys. I mean, there was always like an Adrian Dantley, a guy moving in, like a blockbuster trade.
Right.
But there wasn't like everybody sitting by a pool. You know, in Hawaii going, all right, what if you, we all got together on this same team? That's, you know. Dude, when you were in, like he had outdoor recess and you started, like, picking sides,
right.
If it got too lopsided, even in third grade, you're like, wait. And you had to break it up. Even in third grade, you knew, like, dude, this isn't, like, fair competition.
Right.
So
the Miami Heat did it, so now we had to do it. That's how it works.
You guys were already doing it.
Please.
Oh, okay. You're one of those guys. All right. I can be honest about my team. You can't be honest about your team.
I'm being honest. I told you, Kobe has a lot of dick moments, but I'm a big fan of his still.
Well, I wasn't told that the point was about buying championships.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Your tell is you look down. That's what it is. You look down when you, even though you keep going with your argument, but you look down.
But I was agreeing with what you just said. And then you say I look down. I agree with you. We bought championships.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. Hey. I love it.
Okay. All right. There's no reason to start yelling. He's looking down again.
I just love that for once Bill Burr comes in and Kevin is the dick and not me.
How dare you?
This man gave up a kidney. He's a saint.
Oh,
man. He's a saint. All you pregnant ladies need to stand down and realize the halo that is hovering over this guy's head.
It's Kevin and Beecher here on a Tuesday, by the way. Friday, we are going to be live and in Fullerton at the Slide Bar. I don't know if you're familiar with the competition that we do every year, Bill, but it's the Miss Double December competition. We crown a new busty broad who represents the program throughout the calendar year.
Okay.
And she comes to Acoustic Christmas, comes to the Weenie Roast. She'll be there to see the April Foolishness show next year. She comes to our breakfast with the whole deal. Well, this is the week that we are interviewing the ladies, the top 10 finalists. They're coming in. They're going to be interviewed on the air, shoot some video, put it up at the website, then people go and vote on who they want to see. Will you help us interview the next one? Because she's getting ready to come in here.
Absolutely.
In a minute.
I think I could handle that.
All right.
You don't mind sticking around to talk to a hot 20-something busty chick on the air? You'll do that for us? You're a friend.
Hey, listen. I'm a creep at this point. I'm 44 years old. I'm going to keep it above board here.
Okay, good.
I won't be leering. I'll be trying to give her advice. Like, keep going. Stay in school.
Don't do this. Yeah. Don't do this pageant. All right, yeah. We'll take a break and come
stay
back.
Stay away from
yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Hit it, Steve. Oh, Steve's already hit it. Miss Double December 2013 will be crowned on Friday at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Time to meet yet another contestant.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Boobies.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Big ones, right?
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my... is hard.
We used to be able just to let that go.
Oh yeah,
not anymore.
Well, you hey, called Kobe that word like 9 times. I don't know if you realize.
No, you can say that. You can call somebody,
but
that.
You can't say that.
Correct.
It's becoming
right
erect. You mean?
Yes.
Sorry.
Welcome to Kevin Explains the FCC, our new feature here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bill Burr, funny man Bill Burr, in studio with us right now, as is the Miss Double D contestant in our top 10 at KROQ.com, Mimi, who joins us in studio right now. Hi, Mimi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Have you met your dad, Bill Burr, there in the room?
And they're making fun of how old I am. Stay in school, sweetheart. Stay in school, all right? You can meet a lot of guys out there, and they only want one thing, okay? You make sure they take you out first, get to know you.
This may have been a mistake to have Bill in.
Mimi, get up close to that microphone so we can hear you, please. Tell us a little bit about
a better visual.
A little bit about yourself. How old are you? Where do you live? What do you do?
I'm from Chino, California. I'm 28 years old. I'm a receptionist, and I'm a mommy to a little boy who's 4.
Oh, good for you. Mm-hmm. Good for you. You have an unusual look. You're getting a lot of attention here in the top 10 finalists at KevinandBean.com. Is it a rockabilly look? How would you describe what you got going on, Mimi?
I would consider it more of like a modern-day pinup. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate the rockabilly community and the custom culture lifestyle. So it's just something different. It's something you don't see every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I'm into, and it's what I love. So
you're an original. Well,
thank you. I appreciate that.
A lot of fans of that
building
look out
her up.
There.
After telling her to stay in school?
That's right. Positive feedback here.
Tell us about, you know, something about the Miss Double December pageant. Is this the first time you've entered, I assume, right?
Yes, correct. This is the first year.
Have you heard about it previously?
Yes. I've been asked to do this contest for the past 3 years.
By who?
My cousin.
Okay.
She,
sometimes
you might know her, Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my gosh, really?
She used to be an intern here.
Yeah.
She was great.
We loved her.
Yeah, she...
Why did it take you 4 years to finally get around to do it?
I don't know, because
she had a kid.
It's kind of intimidating.
She had responsibilities.
Okay, take it easy, Bill.
Yes, and also having a child is...
Stop bringing us back to reality. It's not helpful.
All right, so what was different this year? Why did you decide to go for it?
I finally mustered up the courage to do it, and I just said, why not?
One of the questions on the website is, if you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be?
Well, that would be Sweet Tata Sativa.
Okay.
All right.
I will buy that video. Thank you. How old are you, Mimi, and how old are they?
They are 4 years old. And okay. I am 28.
Okay. Nice.
How come I'm the only one clapping?
Sativa sounds like one of those drugs that they just approved.
You know that Friday we are going to be at the Slide Bar in Fullerton, the Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton, which is our home for the Miss Double December pageant every year. We're very excited about the live show. Folks can come out, bring a new unwrapped toy. The Marines will be there. It's our Toys for Tatas that we do each year, and they're going to help us pick the winner that day. Now, there is a talent competition portion of the show. What are you going to be doing for us on stage on Friday?
Well, one of my talents is baking and cooking, and nowadays I find that's a talent for most women, is to be
Thank
in the
you.
Kitchen.
It is. That's right.
Thank you. Thank you. When I say it, it comes out differently.
I brought a bunch of baked goods for you all
Fantastic.
Here in the studio, and I will be having some baked goods on Friday as well.
How
and
nice.
I can also roll my legs over my head, which was pointed out to me.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's more of a self-motorboating action because they kind of just go in my face and they're there.
So I see.
So you can motorboat yourself?
Yes.
All right. I mean, that's cool with me. No, I mean, I'm fine with that.
If we're being asked to see that, okay.
And if the listeners on Friday want to see it live, then, you know, we have to.
They can come on down. Right. All right, so this won't be great radio as Mimi does her stunt for us here, but we are videotaping this, and we will be putting up at krock.com. And again, here's what you do. As you meet the girls throughout the week here on the show, you go to kevinandbean.com, and you cast your vote for who you'd like to see wear the crown. Do you need anything from us? Do you just need to lay down on the floor? What are you doing here, Mimi?
I just lay down on the floor and then roll my legs over.
Let's have that happen.
Okay.
I mean, you don't let someone sing the national anthem without a tryout, right?
Exactly. Bill, is this what you had in mind when you came in this morning?
Absolutely. You know, I figured shows were sold out. You know, we talked some basketball. Where the hell is she? There she is.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mimi now, motorboats herself. I suspect this will go over very well on Friday.
Yeah. Yes, it did. There you go. She did it.
There it was.
I saw it.
Dean, your suspicion is correct. It will go over very well on Friday.
I can't wait to see that. That's fantastic. All right, Mimi, anything else we need to know about you before we say goodbye until Friday?
She can't hear
you. She just put her headphones back on just now.
Sorry. Try that again.
Anything else, Mimi, you want to tell us before you go?
I just want to thank everybody who's been supporting me throughout this whole contest because it's something new and I finally muster up the courage to do it. So I just want to thank everybody who's been supporting me along the way.
There you go.
Fantastic.
All natural, and she can cook, and from L.A. This is like a classic car with the original motor in it. Like a barn find.
I appreciate that comparison.
There you go. There you go.
You appreciate the word barn find?
No, I appreciate the classic car comparison.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be nice. Sorry about that.
We'll see you Friday. Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Great to have you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Right. What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
What just happened was I said thank you, Lisa, but I didn't have my own mic on.
Yeah.
So now
this is on the heels of not having Bill Burr's mic on. Now you don't have your own mic on.
Yeah. So that's good. Happening.
Hey, listen, it's Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Before we get to Showbiz Beat, Lisa May in for Ralph Garman, who will be back tomorrow. Why don't we open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067 for Killers fans. As you know, we're giving away tickets to the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas every morning at 9:10. That's for both nights, pit passes, backstage passes. This time we're looking for Killers fans. If you know and like their music, do we need to say anything more than that, Kevin, or should that do it?
No, if you know and like their music. And their lyrics. You need to know their lyrics.
All right. Killers fans, call now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to earn your way in to the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up right after the top of the hour. Here's Lisa with the Showbiz Beat.
Well, there is an amazing event that's happening this Sunday, and I am part of it. It's at the Kirk Douglas Theater. It is a performance of the Second City's A Christmas Carol, Twist Your Dickens. Hey, just let me... I'll be brief. Anyway, you know Second City's comedy group. They do an amazing job. So they take this classic carol and put their twist on it. And they're having guest stars in each of the performances. And they have people like Ben McKenzie and George Takei and Cheryl Lawrence, Jason Alexander, Richard Simmons.
Wow.
And this Sunday it's going to be me. starting at 3 p.m. at the matinee.
I'd rather see you than Richard Simmons, I'll tell you that.
Kirk Douglas Theater. Or you could see Father Boyle. He's doing
great.
Too, so. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and tickets are very reasonable. Kirk Douglas Theater this Sunday at 3. Okay, so last week we talked to Rich Eisen about his Thanksgiving special. It sounded really cool because he's combining football and celebrities and doing lots of interviews. And one of the interviews was with Bradley Cooper about Silver Linings Playbook, which sounded really interesting. And it makes perfect sense. You know, there's a sort of a football backdrop to it.
He's a Philadelphia fan,
right.
Bradley Cooper.
And if you watch the special, you might have noticed that there was no interview with Bradley Cooper.
What happened?
And no mention of that movie.
He was the biggest name on there, wasn't he?
It really was.
What happened?
Because there is, in the clip that they had taped it with, there's some sort of mention of, or they're showing betting on the NFL. And they didn't like that.
And the NFL will not, they don't like to.
They pretend that doesn't happen.
They pretend it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And so they just cut it out. And
cut the whole thing out?
Harvey Weinstein was super mad.
Wow.
And apparently went on social media and started.
And after Elmo, Bean, did you hear the story about Elmo with Rich Eisen?
Oh, yeah.
Rich Eisen did an intro to the Thanksgiving Day show on the NFL Network probably 6 weeks ago.
Before all the Elmo news came out?
With Elmo.
Oh, how about that?
With Kevin, whatever his name is.
Right, yeah.
And so they had to scrap that as well because all that happened in between.
First
so
they scrapped the NFL, it, and then they said, no, it's back in. Then they said, no, it's out because then somebody else came forward.
Right.
And it was nuts.
So the special started out being an hour. It ended up being 4 minutes.
Correct, yes.
Pretty much. All right. Tim Allen, you know, has a hit TV show that I have never seen.
Is it a hit?
I think. Well, it's still on.
Okay.
So he has this Chevy Impala, this 1996 Chevy Impala that he loves and is worth a lot of money. It's all customized.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it disappeared out of his garage in L.A.
Oh.
And it turned up this past Friday at Faustino Ibarra's, at his family's house. And they called the police. And they live in Denver.
Really?
And Faustino Ibarra is now facing charges.
Who is that? Do we know that person?
Well, he says, this was an interview from jail, he says that he's trying to make it simple for you to understand. I didn't break into the garage. He left the car door open, and he left me the key so I could get the car and take it to Denver. So then they said, well, how do you know Tim Allen? And he said, well, he's my dad. He adopted me years ago.
Wow.
And he says he emailed his dad the morning he picked up the car, told him everything was fine, but he does need to talk to him about coming to live with him.
Wow, crazy.
Was this all news to Tim Allen that he had this kid?
Sure.
Well, he's not commenting because this is a case,
right.
An active case, but they did some investigating, and there is no sign at all that he's an any way related or adopted by Tim Allen.
Awesome.
He's also going to know this. I'm going to carry this with you for the rest of your days. No one makes fun of Tim Allen on my watch. And gets away with it.
Okay, but
don't say anything. Just keep that in you. Okay?
Okay.
The curse of 2.5 men continues. You know, it is a brutal, brutal show to be on.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's a half hour. You make a crap load of money.
$350,000 an episode.
That's for Angus T. Jones, the half of the 2.5 men. And he apparently has found God, or at least some preacher in some sort of Christian church who's convinced him that everything that he's doing on TV is terrible and the show is filth.
Oh, wow.
And people should not be watching it.
Isn't he 7 years into it or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's 18 now, and I think he... Yeah.
He was 11 or something?
So he released this video through this church and basically told the audience, don't watch it. It's filth. It's crap. And I don't want to be on it, but I have this year contract and I can't get out. Well, it turns out nobody connected to the show has heard anything about this until this video came out.
Weird.
Like his people didn't contact them and say he wants out or anything. So nothing from Chuck Lorre yet. But we'll see. But
how do you handle that?
He's in the military in the show. He's in the service.
Uh-huh.
Pretty easy to handle.
So they can just easily deploy him, right?
Don't you think?
How would you look? No one is watching 2.5 men for the half man, right?
Right.
Right.
The draw is Ashton Kutcher and what's his face? John Cryer. That's who people are tuning in to see, just like they tuned in to see Charlie Sheen before. No one cares about the kid. The kid's expendable. Let him go.
Totally.
Save yourself $350,000 a year. Or a week, excuse me.
Not to change the show title, but all right.
Right, maybe there's
that's
that.
True. Yeah. Good point. Celebrity birthdays. Bill Nye the Science Guy is 57. William Fincher from Prison Break and The Perfect Storm is 56. Michael Vartan from Alias, 44. And Allison Pill from The Newsroom is 27. And that's the showbiz.
Got an all-new Beans Death Corner for you coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Right now, though, we turn our attention to the weekend after next. Sold out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. All these shows are great this year. Linkin Park, Rise Against Bush, Garbage, Fun, Neon Trees, Jack White. And we're spotlighting Killers right now. They are headlining night number two. We're looking for Killers fans at 1-800-520-1067. This is a game that we like to call Killer Endings.
Nice. Nice.
Okay.
Well, we didn't have Omar was out today. We didn't have an intro. So
well done.
We did on the fly, you know.
The name of the game again?
Killer Endings.
Beautiful. What it means is we are going to start playing a song from the Killers. When it stops, you have to pick it up at that point in the song and sing the correct lyrics.
Oh, would I be so bad at this song?
Yes,
game. I would be so bad at it. I don't know any of these songs.
I think
like
I would
that.
Be bad at most games that involve lyrics.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
be able to do it. But some people are able to, and the people who do get put into the drawing, you get pit passes, you get backstage passes for both nights of the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Well, we did say we were looking for Killers fans, so I assume we got some players here. Let's start with Jonathan. He is on line one. We'll see how he does. Well, how he does?
We will.
With Killer Endings.
How are you going to does, Jonathan?
Not too good. Probably worse than Omar Oki.
Oh wow!
Well, there's nothing worse than Omar Oki. Okay, again, we're going to start playing a killer song for you. When they stop singing, you pick it up. Give us at least a couple of lines so that we know you know the song. You go into the drawing. Good luck.
Here you go. Here's your killer song. And then it goes.
But it's just a price I pay. Destiny is calling me.
But it's just a price I pay. Destiny is calling me.
How about that?
Look
first
thing.
Well done, Jonathan. Yeah. Very impressive. All right, you're one step closer to winning the tickets. Hang on, you are in the drawing. Let's try contestant number two. This is going to be our man, George. George is on line two. Again, the game we're playing is called Killer Endings.
Yeah, we need Omar back. Hey, George.
Very clever, guys.
You ready for your song?
No, let's do it.
All right. Good. Can we tell them the name of the song or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure we can. When You Were Young by the Killers.
You sit there in your heartache, waiting on some beautiful boy to save you from your old ways. You play forgiveness, watch it now, and here he comes.
He doesn't look a thing like Jesus, but he talks like a gentleman.
He doesn't look a thing like Jesus, but he talks like a gentleman.
Nicely done. How about that?
Well done. Very impressive. Thank you. Let's try Andrew. Line three. Andrew, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of stiff competition out there to win these tickets both nights in the pit. You ready to play?
All right, let's do it.
No one has lost yet, just for the record. No pressure, but everybody's gotten it so far. Here's your killer song. It is Human.
And so long to devotion. You taught me everything I know. Wave goodbye. Wish me well. You've got to let me go.
Are we human or are we dancers? My sign is vital. My hands are cold.
Are we human or are we dancers?
How about that?
He's all gone.
My sign is vital.
We've got some lyric search engines going on here, or
probably.
People just know their killer songs, but I'm very impressed. All right, we got time for Stephanie. I think she's on line four. Let's
by
see
the
how
way,
the ladies do.
Lisa is right. Almost every lyric game is won by a girl.
Yeah.
And three guys got them right. How about that?
Yeah, very, very impressive.
All right, Stephanie, hi.
Hello.
Now, seriously, no one's gotten it wrong yet.
Stephanie,
so the pressure's on.
How have you been doing listening on hold to the other contestants?
Pretty good. I've known all the songs.
All right.
But I'm afraid that I might get stumped now because they got all the easy ones.
Well, this is Smile Like You Mean It. You know that one?
Okay.
All right, here you go.
I do.
Say some things. You know you've only got one. Change your ways while you're young.
Smile like you mean it.
Sorry, it starts out.
Boy, one day you'll be a man
is how it comes back from that part.
Nice try, though. Thank you very much for playing.
Sorry.
Let's try one more. Let's go, Melissa.
Sorry, bad contestant.
Let's try Melissa on line five. She'll be our final contestant, win or lose, on Killer Endings.
Beautiful. All right. Melissa, you there?
Yes. Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
All right. This is Somebody Told Me. Here you go.
Somebody told me that you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend that I hadn't said you wearing of last year.
Well, somebody nice. Told me you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend that I hadn't said you wearing of last year.
I didn't know any of these at all, I'll tell you that. But great contestants, Jonathan, George, Andrew, Melissa, all in the running. Who gets to go to both nights of the sold-out 23rd K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in the pit and backstage passes, Lisa?
The winner's Jonathan.
Jonathan, our first contestant.
Yeah!
Jonathan, pit tickets, backstage passes, both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
We'll see you there. This has been...
Yes.
Killer Andy.
Atlas Genius on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That song is called Trojans. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
We are going to have a lot to talk with our friend Ralph Garman about tomorrow when he rejoins the Kevin and Bean Show. He had a little bit of an extended Thanksgiving holiday weekend because he was in Philadelphia visiting the friends and ended up going to the Eagles game last night on Monday Night Football. Not a terrific performance for his birds. But we'll talk about that, talk about what that was like for him. And also, I guess listeners are telling us, Kevin, that his episode of Bones that he had been telling us about also aired last night. I didn't know that, but we'll talk about that as well.
That's correct.
Apparently he gets his head shoved in a toilet or something on the show.
Well, he starts out dead, and then they do a couple flashbacks.
He starts out dead, and it gets worse from there.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll catch up with Ralph tomorrow. In the meantime, let's fill in on the showbiz news. I thought this was a fascinating story. We all have the wrong impression about celebrities. Don't we just think that if you're hot enough, you date whoever you want. If you're famous enough, you get whatever job you want.
Of course.
Nobody tells you no if you're big enough, right?
Of course, yeah.
Steven Spielberg, in an interview recently with the London Daily Mail, says... Yeah, I've had a tremendous career, and I've directed tons of movies, and I've gotten to pick and choose a lot of great projects. But what I really wanted to do was direct a James Bond movie.
Really?
So I went to Cubby Broccoli. You know, that's the family that owns the Bond and makes all the decisions about who gets hired and who the James Bond is and everything like that. And I said, hey, I'm Steven Spielberg, bitch. Can I do a James Bond movie? And they said, no. So he never asked again. This apparently was back in the 80s when this conversation happened,
okay.
By the way.
That
so instead, but even at that point, he'd already done Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I mean, the guy already had Jaws. He already had a huge track record of success, right?
Right.
So he went on and did the Indiana Jones series instead, which was kind of his way to get that out of his system a little bit to do that kind of movie. But I mean, he said he never asked again, but can you imagine? Would that be crazy? Like, they could do that. I mean, look at the directors they're getting. I mean, Sam Mendes, who's one of the most accomplished directors in the world, does the current James Bond movie, and he's phenomenal. Why not? I mean, it's such a prestige project. Why not let Martin Scorsese do one? Let Spielberg do one. Yeah. You know, give it to all the greats. Let Quentin Tarantino do one.
Yeah, I agree.
Be fascinating.
Right?
You would think if Steven Spielberg asks, everybody just says okay.
Yes, yes.
But if it was the 80s, maybe he wasn't quite as well known yet. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that was a fascinating story that I had never heard before. Interesting to think about what that could have looked like.
Christina Aguilera, fat, on The Voice.
Well, she has put on a few pounds.
She's put
her
on
her skinniest days.
In her defense, I will say this. She picks bad clothing.
Right.
She's still wearing the clothes from when she was skinny, and that makes you look fat.
Yes.
Like, there are many ways you can hide fat. She does none of them.
Yeah. And this is a surprise to me because... We're not talking about her getting, paparazzi photos of her going to Starbucks in the morning. We're talking about her knowing she's going to be on network television as one of the judges on The Voice. You think that that would be where she'd have a team of people, her personal people and the stylists for the show who would say, hey, Christina, not a flattering look.
Yeah, but when it comes down to it, it's what she likes.
And Mariah Carey, she has done the same thing so many
times.
She has
her whole career.
Yeah.
They refuse to get bigger clothing. Well,
they think it's sexy.
The National Enquirer reports that she was practicing a dance number for the show, The Voice, and her pants split down the back.
Some of the crew members were laughing, and she turned around and yelled, "You guys wouldn't have jobs if it wasn't for me." Unfortunately, the support staff didn't even notice, so it went that way for a little bit, and then her personal staff started laughing as well. Let's be honest, when somebody's pants rips,
it's funny.
That's funny. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, but, I agree.
She could wear clothes that are a little closer to her body type.
And don't all girls know that, Lisa? They know exactly what they're showing, and they know exactly what is flattering to their body type. Right?
I think you would so, think. But maybe sometimes you kind of fool yourself.
Yeah, maybe so. Listen, I didn't get a chance to see it, but apparently the Liz and Dick movie that we heard so much hype about, because this was Lindsay Lohan's most high-profile acting job in a long time, did just so-so ratings on Sunday night. It was on Lifetime, and I guess it drew about 3.5 million viewers, which is less than half of the audience that they had a couple of months ago when they did that Queen Latifah remake of Steel Magnolias. Remember the movie Steel Magnolias? They remade it for television with an all-black cast, and that got over twice the ratings of this Lindsay Lohan movie. This Lindsay Lohan movie got so much hype leading up to it. Lisa, you saw some of it. What was the problem here?
Well, the first thing is she does not have the ability to act like she is not in 2012. That's the biggest problem.
In other words, she's not convincing playing someone in the 60s.
Right.
Okay.
And there's just no...
Was she good?
No.
Because I always thought she was a good actor she was younger.
Like, there were times when she was supposed to respond to something, and she was just so flat and would throw her lines away. And in a way, it didn't even make sense the way that she was reading her lines.
Look,
and
what I know about Lindsay is she's not flat, by the way. That's true.
She looked pretty good.
I've seen
it. I'll give her that.
There is an unnamed friend who spoke with one of the papers who said that Lindsay Lohan has really taken these harsh critical reviews of this movie very personally, because even though she's had all these crazy personal problems and drug problems and legal problems and arrests and in and out of jail and girlfriend problems and everything like that, at least people said, yeah, but she's a good actress. And that is the one thing she kind of had to fall back on, is at least she had talent. Now, if people are saying she's a terrible actress too, what does she have to hang on to?
Yeah.
What's left for her if that was the only thing that was keeping her going? There is one person who has given her rave reviews, though, and it may be the one person in the world she doesn't want to hear anything from, and that's her father, Michael Lohan, who I guess she's completely estranged from right now. He tweeted out suggesting that all the critics get new jobs because they know nothing about talent.
Okay.
All the critics. Wow. And she doesn't even want him on her side.
Yes. He says that Lindsay is one of the best. She's so gifted and so amazing, and ended his tweet with, God bless you. So I don't know if this is just him trying to get back into her good graces in her pocketbook or what the deal is. But Michael Owen, the one person standing up and saying, oh, yeah, I thought she was good in that show the other night.
And then he tweeted out his next tweet was, have you seen her can?
Right.
Oh, God.
Inappropriate, if I could be honest. Are you sick and tired of hearing from and about Donald Trump and President Obama?
Well, certainly. Yes.
Even his grown children feel your pain. Sources tell PerezHilton.com that Eric Donald Jr. and Ivanka Trump were shocked their father last month with a surprise visit. And they said, hey, Dad, you sort of have a legacy going. Why don't you shut the F up?
Yeah.
And they suggested that he's worked too long and too hard to jeopardize his, quote, reputation.
What kind of reputation does they think that Donald Trump has? He's a clown.
Well, I think he, for a long time, had the reputation of
a brilliant businessman, just, right?
Yeah, exactly, sort of. Businessman. I almost said businessman, but that's not right. but apparently his kids are trying to get him to shut up, but he will not, because he loves himself some Donald Trump.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Right.
I heard the other day, by the way, from somebody, I can't remember where, that the Trump Tower, where his office is in New York, and you see it all the time on the TV show, has his name on it.
Yeah.
He doesn't own any of it. He owns a portion of the lease of the parking garage for the Trump Tower.
Are you serious?
And that is the extent of what he owns on that particular piece of real estate in New York City.
Are you joking?
I mean, I don't know what's going on with his portfolio these days. And he certainly has declared bankruptcy enough to suggest that maybe he's not a brilliant businessman.
At least two times.
He's a great self-promoter.
Though. Yeah.
And for whatever reason, people are drawn to him. And every time he makes some cockamamie statement or does another one of his dumb YouTube videos or something, or puts out a challenge to somebody, it gets all the coverage in the world. His star just rises, you know? And his Celebrity Apprentice, I mean, that is a hit. That's a legitimate hit. People do watch it.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
He's famous for something. I'm just not. He's turning into one of those guys who's just famous for being famous.
He's a clown, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, let's get on out of here. Today's celebrity birthdays. A couple of good ones, including Urkel himself, actor Jaleel White. He is 36 years old today. Victoria Gotti is 50 today. Catherine Bigelow, Oscar-winning director of The Hurt Locker and the new film Zero Dark Thirty that's coming out in a couple of weeks. She's celebrating her 61st birthday today. Rapper Twista turns 39 today. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is 57. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
All right. Ralph will be back tomorrow for his Showbiz Beat to do it right. Also, tomorrow morning, we have the Rocket City Rednecks. I don't know if you've seen these guys, but they are,
They paint their faces blue?
No. No, that would be the Blue Man Group. This is it's a group of rednecks that live out in the middle of the sticks. And but one of them's a PhD in chemistry or something like that. And basically, they just blow stuff up.
Awesome. Yeah, they're your people.
They're my people. Yeah,
they are your people.
Dave said, do you want the Rocket City Red? Yes. So they're going to be on the show tomorrow.
What kind of stuff do they blow up?
Everything. Name it. Just name
really?
It. Yeah. They would have been proud of me at Thanksgiving with the dry ice. Oh, I didn't tell that on the air, did I?
Mm-mm.
Never mind. Adam Carolla will be on the show tomorrow, This Week in Rage. And we have three Miss Double December contestants tomorrow morning.
We have time for that and all that other stuff, too?
Correct.
That's crazy.
We always have time for Miss Double December contestants. Mm-hmm. And also, we have your tickets for the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, both nights in the pit and backstage. You still have more chances to win today at 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10. And then again tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and